the NHL Draft on WGR. Who will the Sabres select?
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres, proud to select.
Hear it live on the home of the Sabres.
And now, with all the coverage of the NHL Draft, here's your host, Brian Koziel and Brayton Wilson.
It is time for the NHL Draft. Yes, we get to the end of June, and that means it is time for the NHL to come back into the spotlight. Yes, it's been so long since the Stanley Cup just ended. The longest season in sports continues to push right on to its next season.
And we're going to get 84 games with the next CBA.
And more games as well. That's right, Brayton. 82 to 84.
Less
exactly
preseason games,
the opposite of what I would have wanted. I'll get more on that later. But anyway, we welcome you in. Happy Friday night. It's sunny here in Amherst. I know some of you in the South Town's dodging thunderstorms, but I think the weather's good everywhere here across Western New York right now, and we're excited to be with you here giving you our live NHL draft coverage on WGR, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegelkar & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. I'm Brian Koziel. You just heard there from Brayton Wilson. Brayton has, as he does every year, studying the prospects and the draft picks, and we're going to get his insight throughout the draft here this evening. Zach Jones there with the update. Zach's going to be keeping tabs on every single pick and providing us news and notes here along the way as well, and he'll be keeping us posted on the draft order and how far we are away from the Sabres. Evan DePasquale producing here in our Amherst studios, and Paul Hamilton is down, yes, in Orchard Park at One Bills Drive. The Sabres themselves setting up their draft camp and all their computers and all their fancy equipment and all their staff and personnel, including owner Terry Pegula, general manager Kevin Adams, and the rest of the team down there in Orchard Park, where the Bills have nicely offered up the room for the Sabres tonight. And as Zach mentioned there in the update, the Islanders will be on the clock here shortly, rounding out the picks up until Buffalo. It's the Islanders at one who are busy today making a trade, as you heard there in the update. San Jose has picked two, Chicago three, Utah four, Nashville five, Philadelphia six, Boston seven, Seattle eight, and then the Sabres at number nine. Brayton has his mock draft up at WGR550.com. We'll talk about that in a moment. And again, any sort of trades or movement in the draft board or rumors, Zach's all on top of that, so we'll be getting him as well.
I will make a disclaimer about my mock draft. It did not get updated after the Noah Dobson trade.
Okay.
Just a heads up. So if you're looking and you're thinking like, oh, Montreal's got back-to-back picks, no, not anymore. It's New York Islanders that have back-to-back picks 16 and 17 now.
Listen,
I'm busy. Wow.
You're driving on the thruway here, and you're not live updating your mock draft?
Ugh.
Come on, Brayton.
I know.
All right.
One person
who is on the spot and is ready with his mock draft is Paul Hamilton. Let's bring him in now down from Orchard Park. Paul, good evening. Where's your mock draft, Paul?
Put a little effort in this. I mean, the Bills can set up, or the Sabres can set up their stuff down here. You guys should be at the 50-yard line inside the stadium with a card table or something, broadcasting live all night from the stadium, right at the 50-yard line.
There we go. We could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a drive now, Paul. I'm not doing that now, but we could do that.
Thanks for giving us this idea at 7:08, Paul.
Appreciate it. The sun is out here, so you're not. You know, it's not raining on you or anything.
I know. Well, Paul, obviously, we're nine picks away here from the draft beginning. And before I let you come in and comment, we're actually going to hear from the commissioner. He is in Los Angeles. As we mentioned, you and the rest of the media and all the Sabres front office staff and owner Terry Pegula and GM Kevin Adams are in Orchard Park. But we're going to go to L.A. so we can get the introduction of the draft and get it started from the commissioner. And then we'll head back to Paul here for his thoughts.
Long dreams come true. It's also the night on which the building blocks for Stanley Cup champions are put into place. To all of the fans watching us over the next 2 days on ESPN and the NHL Network in the United States and on Sportsnet and TVR in Canada, the NHL thanks you for being the best in sports. And thanks to the thousands of fans attending watch parties in our 32 markets, we love your passion for our teams, and I love the passion here today. Special thanks to the City of Los Angeles and the Los Angeles Kings. Fantastic hosts you. Now, we have a lot of work to do, so give me a couple more minutes. Much has been written and said about the changes in our draft format this year. It's been called the decentralized draft. Let me give you a little glimpse of what is about to transpire. There are the feeds of all 32 teams' draft rooms around North America. It will feel like they are with us tonight. Actually, they are, albeit virtually. As important, close to 100 prospects whose names will be called tonight and tomorrow are here with us in this spectacular Peacock Theater. Actually, if you're a draft-eligible player in attendance, I ask you to stand right now. Gentlemen, congratulations. Congratulations on getting to this point. Enjoy the moment. And when your name is called, remember your parents, siblings, other family members, coaches, teachers, and teammates have supported you at every step along your hockey journey. Please be seated. In addition, we will make sure that moments after each player is selected tonight, he will be connected by the marvels of technology with his new team and fans. We'll do that by visiting what we call the NHL Draft House. So while we're on the subject, we're going to take a visit of our own. With us is Matthew Darche, general manager of the New York Islanders, and his colleagues. Matthew, this is your first draft as a general manager. How do you feel?
Well, I don't think it could have gone any better by winning the lottery, so we'll thank Ken Morrow for that, who was there at the lottery. And our UBS arena here is packed with fans at our watch party, so we're excited to get going.
Any extra pressure because you have the number one pick?
I know we're going to get an outstanding young man and an outstanding player, so we're very excited.
That's great. Good luck to you and all of your colleagues around the league. So, here we go. The first selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders. Islanders, you're on the clock.
All right. So there you go. A little explanation on the decentralization of the draft. It's going to be virtual fun. Paul Hamilton joining us from Orchard Park. Paul, did you get all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he tried to sell it hard, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, they only put 3 minutes up on the clock. If that is what each team is getting, well, that just put us all in a better mood, because that means the Sabres might be picking a lot sooner than we thought. But, Paul, the Sabres have obviously made a ton of moves, or made a couple of moves here that we can talk about. But before we do that, just can you set the scene of what's happening down there? Because obviously this is a new spot for you to be on draft day.
It's basically we're just in the Buffalo Bills media room. And we have the TV feed of ESPN, just like you do, and we wait. And then when the first round is over, Kevin Adams will come out and speak. And you know, we'll write our articles or do our thing or whatever we have to do and then go home and then come back here tomorrow for the second round and do the same thing all over again.
And, Paul, other than the COVID year for the draft, obviously this is new experience for most. And I agree with what Kevin Adams said. He said one negative of this setup is that he said, you know, there are other teams' personnel departments and scouts and assistant GMs and GMs that are on the floor. And while, of course, they can communicate with any of them right now if they want to, he says a lot of times he used the word kind of like check in, I think, is what the phrase he used. Just kind of go over and have a conversation. He said sometimes things develop from that, And, you know, you wonder maybe will we see less trades even because of it, or even just, you know, some of those things that he said maybe organically just kind of happen because they're all in the same spot. I wonder how GMs will deal with that this year.
Yeah, a GM might just be walking by somebody's table, and all of a sudden the other GM will think of something and say, hey, come here a minute, let's talk for a second.
Yeah.
You know, things like that can happen, which obviously can't happen right now.
Yeah.
You can pick up the phone and whatever, but you can't get it like a spur-of-the-moment thing going.
All right, we got the Islanders
from
pick.
From the Erie Otters, Matthew Schaefer.
All right, so the commissioner isn't announcing the picks. It's Matthew Schaefer. Now, no surprise here. Brayton, real quick. I know this was in your mock draft, but everyone's mock draft, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Widely regarded as the best prospect overall in this draft class, a potential number one caliber defenseman in the NHL. Really good skater, Matthew Schaefer is. He can fly up and down the ice. He's really good handling the puck. He's got great instincts to jump up in the play at the right time, to go to the net, create some offensive chances, and then cycle back to defend if need be. I think he is the best player overall in this draft class, best defenseman by far, and the Islanders are going to land themselves their number one defenseman for several years to come with this top pick.
All right, San Jose is next, and we'll talk a little bit more here about the players available with Brayton shortly, but just one or two more things here with Paul as he joins us live from what is the site now of the Sabres draft room at One Bills Drive, out in Orchard Park. Paul, the prospect of the Sabres moving this pick, what did Kevin Adams say about it yesterday for those that maybe missed it, or 2 days ago, rather, when they had that draft press conference?
Well, he's open to it for sure, but it's not. He doesn't want futures. And that's correct. I wouldn't either. So they have enough futures. It has to be for a good player that you know, they can use right now, an NHL player who's already gone through the development stage. So that's what he would be looking for. I think last year they were very close maybe to getting Natchez, and then Carolina just didn't want to make the deal. But I think for a while the Sabres thought that they had a pretty good chance of that happening, which would have cost them their first-round pick. But you know, Montreal now has set the stage. Last year, nobody traded their pick. Montreal had two in a row, and they have traded it. Went with a pretty bold move. I mean, they knew what they wanted,
yeah.
And that's what I like about it, that they knew what could improve their team. They have a pretty good stable of prospects. Do you want to get rid of two first-round picks this year? No, you probably don't. But they really believed in the player that they got that can make them a much better team. And they've done a good job of drafting over the years, so they have guys. So they went and did it. And it's not done very often, but to me it's a bold move. And, you know, you go and pay Dobson $9.5 million after he didn't have the greatest year last year. The year before, he had a fantastic year. So, you know, I like that type. And that's the type of move the Sabres have to make. You know, they go for it. You know, if there's a player you really want and you got to throw an extra prospect in there or whatever it might be, you got to do it. You're at a point now in your development of your team that it has to happen, and it has to start happening now. So if that's what it's going to take to get a player that you think is going to make a difference, they got to do it.
Paul, the announcement of the Jack Quinn extension plus the Paterka trade yesterday or late Wednesday night, do those moves at all affect what you think the strategy would be at pick 9, or it would have nothing to do with it, in your opinion?
No, I don't think it would have anything to do with it. I would not have given Quinn a 2-year deal. I would not have given Quinn anything more than his qualifying offer. He to me, has to be in a show-me year. And it might work out. I'm not convinced that Jack Quinn can't score 30 goals in the league. I think he has that in him. I've always thought he's had that in him, but that was an awfully poor year that he had last year, and I simply just would not have done that, given him 2 years at, you know, over $3.3 million per season. No, my eyebrows really lifted when I saw that one. I've said all along, and I'll say it again, qualifying offer, take it or leave it. You know, you do what you think is best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's coming off of a couple of severe injuries and a disappointing offensive point production season, and you know, when you and I were discussing this toward the end of the regular season for the Sabres, you were saying qualifying offer all the way. It's definitely much higher than I thought it would be for Quinn. I know the Sabres obviously maybe aren't up against the cap at any capacity, but you'd like to think, Paul, with what Kevin Adams has expressed about making big moves and, you know, essentially – you know, whether he says it or not, his tenure as GM, I mean, it's ticking here of that he needs instant success. So this deal right away and the money spent, like, it affects what he can do for this season and this fall when they start back up.
Yeah, I mean, with how far the cap went up at $95.5 million, and it's going to keep going up, depending on revenues, I mean, up over $100 million, I don't think the money right now is a concern. At least in my mind, it's not. It's I think the player needs to show them. I mean, they signed too many players to contracts they hadn't earned yet. They were kind of signing them for what they thought might be, and it turned out to be a huge mistake. And now they're trying to rectify that mistake. And it's only 2 years, so it's not like it's going to bog them down a long period of time. But I don't see what Jack Quinn did to earn that contract.
Yeah. Last thing, Paul, is there a specific type of player that you feel is the best for the Sabres at nine that can help their team ASAP, or because maybe they're at nine and none of them would have an immediate impact immediately on the ice, you would still go with the mindset of just take the best player on your board kind of mentality?
Well, from a prospect standpoint, they don't have a lot of size. They have Wahlberg down in Rochester, but, you know, he still has to learn how to play like a big man. And I think, you know, that's what they should be looking for is some grit, size, you know, some rambunctious guys. I've talked a lot about Kayshawn Atchison. I talked a lot about Rada Mertka. Brayton talked about, I believe it was Brady Martin off the top of my head. I think that's who it was.
Yep, you got it.
A guy who maybe isn't the biggest thing in the world but plays like he is. You know, those are the types of players that they don't have as youngsters. I think Doan brings that as a young player. I mean, Doan was talking about how he loves to play like that. It's fun to play hockey that way. Well, the Sabres don't have too many players that have fun that play that way. So, you know, that's what I think. Of course, get people with skill. I'm not talking about going out and getting goons or anything like that, but guys who, with their skill, are hard to play against.
Yep. Okay, Paul, well, thank you so much. I hope that the draft for you, your first NHL draft out at a football stadium, goes well. And we will obviously be checking in with you throughout the first round here tonight. If there's anything that you find out there that we need to know before the Sabres pick at nine, obviously just jump right in. Otherwise, we'll talk to you after the pick is made.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul. All right, Paul Hamilton out at One Bills Drive, again, where the Sabres are set up for tonight's draft. So it is 3 minutes, Brayton.
Yes.
However, they don't start it right away, so
right.
It's probably like 10, right,
yeah.
By the time they get it in between,
yep.
Here. San Jose is up here at pick two, and we'll stay with us here to get the Sharks pick. But what are you thinking here at pick two with San Jose?
I mean, I think they're going to go with the best forward available, and to me that's Michael Mesa. Really, really skilled forward down the middle of the ice. Mind you, he did mostly play wing in his first 2 years in the Ontario Hockey League. And let's kind of go back even a little further. Michael Mesa is a former exceptional status player. For people that don't know what that means, in the Canadian Hockey League, an exceptional status player means that player can play a year earlier than they're normally eligible to play, which is the age of 15. Connor McDavid was ineligible. It was a generation or was an exceptional status player.
Yeah.
Aaron Ekblad was an exceptional status player. John Tavares was an exceptional status player. Michael Mesa was, you know, he's not the most recent one, but one of the more recent ones. Played really well in Saginaw this past year as a centerman, really proved himself that he can play down the middle of the ice. At the NHL level, I think there's questions in terms of whether or not that can transition or he's going to be a winger, which either way is fine. Super talented guy. He's got good bursts of speed to generate separation. One of the smarter players in this draft class overall. And that's where I think they should go, but there are winds of talk that they will go to Sweden to select Anton Frundell here, so it'll be interesting.
Okay, yeah. So you have Mesa in your mock draft.
And by the way, Matthew Schaefer, for people that are happening to watch the draft coverage and listen to us, he has a heavy, heavy heart because he lost his mother years ago, and then when he was in Erie, he lost his billet mother as well. And he's got a breast cancer awareness sort of patch on his jersey, yeah. And he wears it in honor of his mom. And just he's really a world-class kid. I mean, there's just so many stories coming out this week of just what a great kid this guy is.
Yeah, and his emotions were on display after he was selected there. He kind of broke down emotionally, understandably so. But he's going through the interviews and heading into that virtual draft room.
Another thing that's amazing about Matthew Schaefer, too, he's 10 days away from being eligible for the 2026 NHL draft. He's one of the youngest players in this draft class.
He's 17 until
September. And he's very, very good. I think the Sharks are going to come up here and pick.
Yeah. San Jose, the time has expired. Again, obviously, this clock is meaningless because they don't start it right away and it's zero and nothing's happening.
Let's pull the Minnesota Vikings. They missed their pick. Let's get interesting.
Who ran up? Was that the Texans that ran? No. Who was after Minnesota that year when they missed the pick?
I think it was Houston.
They ran up. And then I remember like watching the TV coverage and the ESPN guys are going crazy. They're like, what is happening here? And then, you know, like the ninth team's going to run up and the tenth team's going to run up. You're like, you got to go. Got to go.
Go.
Trying to beat Minnesota there.
I think Minnesota did it 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, we can't get offer sheets from GMs. They're not going to skip picks here, right? Like, because that would be.
I mean, we did get two offer sheets last year.
Right. That would be faux pas here. We can't just Chicago can't just run up, be like, "Up, clock zero."
All I'll say is
there's no pick.
It would be amazing if they could just do offer sheets at the draft, just like all of a sudden one GM comes over to the other table and like hands them papers like they're getting served, and it's just like, "Here's an offer sheet."
As long as they don't touch it, they're fine.
Yeah. If you watch the NBA draft on Wednesday night, your head is still spinning.
Oh man.
Because every pick was followed by a trade. I'm not asking for that in the NHL.
And they still do it wrong where they're like, it's proposed trade, so they still got to put on the hat.
It's awful.
It's so bad.
It's really bad. The NHL, to no surprise, is the complete opposite. They're scared to make any trades, the GMs are, and there almost rarely is trade. Now, we did see one with Dobson, but like during the draft, I always feel like Zach, who, you know, I mean, I've been hosting these shows now for, over a decade. These nights, almost, we never get movement. So maybe we'll get some excitement. Okay, here's the commissioner, and it's pick two. It's in from the Sharks.
It's time for the second pick in the NHL entry draft. Making the selection for the San Jose Sharks is someone born and raised in San Jose. She's a WWE superstar and two-time WWE SmackDown champion, I give you Bailey.
Nothing like Commissioner Bettman introducing someone from the WWE, who I'm sure he hasn't met before. We do have the Goo Goo Dolls introducing the Sabres pick.
Hello, Los Angeles hockey fans. It is a huge honor to be here tonight and a huge honor to represent my San Jose Sharks. Hey, better watch them booze, all right? So without further ado, with the second overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are proud to select from the Saginaw Spirit, Michael Misa!
All right, there it is, Michael Misa, the center. He's the first forward taken. Brayton, you're 2-for-2 on your mock draft.
Yeah, so far so good looking that way. Yeah, no, just a guy that put up 134 points in 65 games with Saginaw this past year, helped them win a Memorial Cup last year in the in the Canadian Hockey League. Again, just a really, really dynamic forward, has really good speed. What makes him dangerous is his deceptiveness with the puck. He's often just leaving guys in the dust and also just really a cerebral player with the puck on his stick. So the right pick here, my top forward at least in this draft class, a smart pick for the Sharks, and the rich get richer.
All right.
That's the way I'll put it.
So Michael Misa to the Sharks, Matthew Schaefer at 1 to the Islanders. Chicago is up next. They are on the clock, followed by Utah. Picks 3 and 4, respectively, and then in Buffalo is down at 9. Okay, we'll take our first time out here on our NHL draft coverage. Brian Kulziel, Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton, Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale, all with you here as our continuing NHL draft coverage. Brought to you by Outlet Liquor. As well, hold on, let me get the rest of this here. What do you need to stock up? It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Markets, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. All right, we'll come back with Chicago, Utah, and all the way down to 9 with the Sabres as we roll on here on WGR. 9:34 here on our NHL draft coverage brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton out in Orchard Park. We'll go back to Paul after the Sabres pick, which is getting closer. Zach, two picks are in. What do we have so far?
So, unsurprising at one, the Islanders do go Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman out of Erie. Then the Sharks went the number one forward, at least for Brayton, Michael Misa out of Saginaw, also out of the OHL. And now we have the third overall pick with Chicago.
For the Chicago Blackhawks, is one of the most iconic players in franchise history, as well as a recent inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame, Jeremy Roenick.
What's up, LA? Hello to all my Chicago Blackhawk fans and a special shout, yeah, I know. Go Hawks! And a special shout out to all who are watching with us back at the official Blackhawks draft party in Chicago. Want to give a thanks to the LA Kings and the city of LA for hosting this incredible event. Also like to give a great shout out to all the firefighters and first responders who've done such heroic work here in LA. You guys are truly all the heroes. As we enter 100 years of Blackhawks hockey and celebrate the franchise's centennial upcoming season, I am honored to be here representing the incredible Blackhawks alumni and welcoming a new player to our storied hockey legacy and heritage. With the third pick of the 2025 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select from Djurgården, Anton Frändell.
All right, there it is, Anton Frändell, center, second forward off the board. Brayton, you are now 3-4-3.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's nice for a change.
You want to retire now?
Right.
Or you want to try for four?
Let's see where this goes.
Let's try
here.
For four.
Why
here?
Not?
All right, tell us a little bit about this pick.
Frändell was ranked the number one skater by Central Scouting at the European group of skaters. Really, really solid two-way centerman down the middle. Certainly a guy that has a really good shot. Between him and Caleb Desnoyer, who's considered as the other really good two-way centerman in this year's class, Frändell is definitely more so the scorer and more so the finisher than Caleb Desnoyer, who's more so the playmaker and the puck distributor. Frondell's got one of the stronger shots in the entire class. Kind of got off to a bit of a slow start, but then really started to pick it up. I mean, he's 6 foot, 196 pounds, but people compare him to like an Alexander Barkov. So if he really continues his development and continues to build up his frame a little bit, get a little stronger, the Chicago Blackhawks probably have their number two centerman behind Connor Bedard for the future.
When you are starting, as we start to get closer here, Utah, by the way, is up at pick four, followed
this
by Nashville.
This is where the draft starts.
Yeah,
this is where it starts.
Utah, obviously involved with a move with the Sabres, with the Paterka trade. Brayton, how does what Utah does here maybe being affected by the fact that they just landed J.J. Paterka?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they play it out. I mean, I have them picking Parter Martone, but because they traded for J.J. Paterka, that probably changes things a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if they went center off the board here. They're probably not going to go defense, but you know, they could go with a guy like Desnoyer, who I just mentioned, really good playmaking center down the middle. They could go James Hagans, who I think is even a better playmaker down the middle than Desnoyer. Just is not, he's not a two-way guy, really. Yeah. Or they can go somewhere off the board a little bit, like a Jake O'Brien, who's one of the better passers in this draft. It's certainly interesting to see how they're going to play this out here with this upcoming pick. But again, a lot of people were anticipating the draft to start with the Utah Mammoth pick.
Yeah. All right. So Utah and, of course, Buffalo involved in the deal that sent J.J. Paterka away. You know, I keep getting reaction. I know, Zach, you've been taking calls from fans here over these last few days of fan reaction. Breaking down the trade more and more, the understanding of maybe why Kevin Adams did it, and to not at all be any less excited about who came back. When you break down, though, what has happened in terms of major trades, Zach, here over the last handful of years, it always seems as though the Sabres are the ones giving up the best player in the trade.
Yeah.
Paterka for more than one player. Reinhardt for picks and players. Mm-hmm. Eichel for picks and players. Again, this is no insult to Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch's been amazing for the Buffalo Sabres. I think he's been even better than what I thought he would have done. But ultimately, in that trade, again, Eichel's still the best player involved in the trade. Reinhardt, again, Devon Levi might turn into be amazing goaltender here this year. But in that trade right now, Reinhardt's still the best player. O'Reilly at the time was the best player in that trade, which came for picks and prospects. Now, one of those players was Tage Thompson in that trade. So that trade worked out for Buffalo and St. Louis because they needed O'Reilly to help them win the cup that year. So that was a win-win kind of trade. And look at what Tage Thompson has done. So, you know, you could say that trade worked out well for Buffalo. But, you know, you've looked at these trades here over the last few seasons, and it's been quite a bit of the Sabres sending out the graded top A player in the trade. And I think that's why fans, even if they have nothing to say, either pro or con on Kesselring coming in or Doan coming in, Paterka still on paper is the best player moving out. So that I can see why fans are still very frustrated about why this continues to happen.
You know, me and Derek, we were on yesterday and we didn't actually get to this call, but you know, we can see in the description what they want to talk about. And I think it's like hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm just tired of having to Google the players they got. And it's a joke, yes, but like that's kind of true. Like and Brian, you bring it up. Like they're always sending the named guy out. They're sending the one that when Elliot Friedman or any of those guys tweet about it, it's the excitement for the other team.
Yes,
not for the Sabres. And I think that's even still true to what they got for Paterka, where I think most of us acknowledge they're good players.
Yes,
but when you looked at the value for Paterka, and then it only got worse with the reports, you know, today and yesterday of what they maybe turned down.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us got there with the trade 12 or so hours afterwards where you got to sleep on it. You got to look these guys up. You're like, okay, this will work.
Most people were sleeping when that trade happened, though.
That's right.
But when people were able to wake up and look this person up, like, okay, good. And then it was the reports of what they maybe turned down. You know, you do hear names like Marco Rossi or Jordan Kyrou and stuff like that. And while it wasn't an immediate need, you know, defenseman was kind of the big need, and that's the exciting part of getting back. You know, now they have maybe two openings at the top six forwards. They came into this offseason with one of them. And, like, that's where, like, for me, the Bo Byram potential deal, I'm almost waiting with bated breath of what it's going to be. But I'm almost terrified of what it's going to be, Brian, because, as you mentioned, like, the deals they make, they're not typically getting that guy back.
Yes.
You're typically getting a move where all of us are then immediately going to Twitter going, like, okay, where are the analytics guys? What are they saying? Brayden, I don't know this person.
You know the draft value here better than Zach and I. So I'll ask you, because I asked this when I walked in with Zach about the Dobson trade being a big one. Mm-hmm. And two ones.
Yeah.
Would have Byram and nine been enough to pull that deal off?
Perhaps. I'm not exactly the greatest with trying to value a trade, because again, I thought personally, in my opinion, that a trade involving JJ Paterka was going to land you a pretty decent return.
Maybe this pick that Utah's about to make.
Mind you, real quickly before we get that pick in, I like Michael Kesselring. I think he's going to fit exactly what the Sabres are looking for from a right shot defenseman on the blue line. I like Josh Doan. I think that as a bottom six forward with the potential to be a middle six forward, he brings a lot to the table. Good speed, good physicality, and I think he's just got to kind of put it all together, and he's got a decent shot to him as well. But I just feel like the value was just not entirely there. Like, there's something missing from that trade that the Sabres did not take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean,
what else could they have gotten from Utah, from another team? I don't know.
Rumors. Now, could they have gotten it for this pick? Maybe. I would have said no thank you, because I don't want a player that's not going to immediately impact them this season.
But I know a lot of Utah media members were kind of waiting, like, okay, we've lost four. We had to have.
Yeah. All right, Utah, pick four. Here it is in, and here is Gary Bettman.
There's a bit of a pun in this, so bear with me. Staying on course. The next pick is for the Utah Mammoth. Joining us from Utah is one of the PGA Tour's longest hitters and most decorated athletes, Salt Lake City native Tony Finau.
Thank you, guys. Tony Finau here, coming to you from Salt Lake City, Utah. Super stoked to be here to make this pick on behalf of Utah and the Utah Mammoth. Being a Utah native myself, having an NHL team in Utah has been absolutely incredible. Our inaugural season, I thought, was incredible. It was great, and I'm so forward, so looking forward to seeing the team grow with this incredible player. Now, I got to be honest with you guys. When we changed the name to Mammoth, I'm like thinking to myself, what kind of noise does a mammoth make? Well, I don't know what type of noise a mammoth makes, but I know what type of noise we make right here in Utah. Can I get a one more time for those in the back? With the fourth overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Utah Mammoth are proud to select from the Moncton Wildcats, Caleb Desaulniers.
All right, there it is. I was excited Tony Finau was up there. Then he started making those noises, and I was like, oh, come on, Tony. All right, let's learn a little bit about this pick here, Brayton. Go ahead.
Caleb Desaulniers, 6'2", 172 pounds, widely regarded as the best two-way playmaking centerman in this year's draft class. Really good puck-moving guy down the middle of the ice. Really started to come along as the year went on. One of the highest risers in this class. Finished the year with 84 points in 56 games, but really helped Moncton in the Quebec Maritime Juniors Hockey League playoffs, where he put up 30 points in 19 games, was the postseason MVP, helped Moncton to the championship there to win. Certainly not the flashiest or the most skilled guys down the middle, but I shouldn't say skilled because he is skilled, but not the flashiest or just the guy that kind of pops out, but he just does a lot of things right down the middle, and it's a good reason why he went fourth overall.
All right, so Nashville is now on the clock at 5, Philadelphia 6, Boston 7, Seattle 8, and then it's the Sabres at pick 9. Paul Hamilton's out in Orchard Park. We'll talk to him after the Sabres make their pick. Here in our Amherst studio, Zach Jones, Brayton Wilson, Evan DePasquale producing. I'm Brian Colziel as we continue on our coverage of the NHL draft here. And when we come back, we'll get you closer to the Sabres at pick 9. Nashville up next. Zach will run out down the picks when we return right here on WGR. .752, welcome back. Our live coverage of the NHL draft on WGR, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, and Zach Jones here with the update. Zach, what sound does a mammoth make?
I'm not even making that sound, not doing it. Brian, through an hour, we're through 4 picks. And if we're comparing that to a glacier melting, we're making incredible time. The Islanders started it off today, unsurprisingly, Matthew Schaefer, defenseman out of Erie. Then the Sharks went the first forward tonight. And, well, Schaefer's been the only defenseman after he went one. Sharks go Michael Misa out of Saginaw. Blackhawks go Anton Frundell, the center out of Sweden. And then the Mammoth go, Brayton, you're going to help me with this, Caleb Desaulniers?
Desaulniers. Let's get Gary Bettman with Nashville's pick.
Nashville Predators, one of Smashville's all-time greats, and a 2024 inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame, I give you Shea Weber.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here making the Nashville Predators' first selection. What a big day for these young athletes. Just the start's beginning for him. So, I mean, his journey ahead of you, and I want to wish you guys all the best of luck. I want to say hi to all the fans at Bridgestone. I know you guys probably aren't having any fun. I miss you guys. What a place to play. With that, with the 5th overall selection, the Nashville Predators in the 2025 NHL entry draft select from the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, Brady Martin.
All right, so Brady Martin from Sault Ste. Marie going there, and now another centerman going here, Brayton, on pick 5.
Yeah, so this was the guy that I had the Sabres getting at number 9, which makes it more interesting because there's the possibility that a better prospect will be available with number 9. Really like Brady Martin, his game overall. He's certainly got a super high ceiling, and I think that's probably part of the reason why he's the pick here. Yes, they're showing right now he is wholeheartedly a farm boy. He grew up on a farm. That's his whole MO.
I thought they cut the cameras to like where he was. He wasn't at the draft, and I thought it was in a gym. I was like, what is happening?
He is not at the draft. He is home back on the farm. I think he said at the combine that he had to stay home because there's farm work to do, which is amazing. Absolutely amazing that he is home because that's Matthew Schaefer.
Okay, that's Schaefer.
So
anyway,
back to Martin. Martin is being widely compared to having the ceiling of like a Brad Marchand, a guy who's really just does everything that needs to be done, goes and plays at 100%. He's not afraid to get dirty, not afraid to get his nose dirty and everything like that. Just a really good skating guy, goes really hard at both ends of the ice, and he's widely regarded as the best hitter in hockey. As an 18-year-old, one of the best hitters in hockey. Just he will make a really smart hit in the corner. He'll go across the ice, hit another guy, and then he'll go straight to the net and put the puck in the back of the net. That's the type of player that Brady Martin is. And Nashville and Smashville, as I'm going to say, really will love to have a player like him.
All right. So
is he a number one center?
Yeah.
No.
He's a middle player.
You got to stop talking about him, though. There are going to be some people that are listening to this that are upset the Sabres did not have a chance to get him.
Right. Sorry. He got picked fifth overall. Just saying.
Six, Philadelphia. They're on the clock right now, about 2 minutes to go before they make their selection. Boston at 7, Seattle at 8, and then the Sabres at 9. You had, Brayton, in your mock draft, Porter Marteau, the right winger from Brampton over the OHL, going at pick 4.
Yes.
So he is falling here.
A little bit.
So at least according, to your, now he could go right here and it's not a significant, I mean, just
and
obviously
so is,
your prediction.
And so is James Higgins,
but
who's another
we're getting now
prospect.
Where there's only going to be 3 more players taken before the Sabres. Mm-hmm. Do you see at least 3 names that you would be kind of, quote, in love with the Sabres here taking?
I mean, there are 3 names that I would love. Porter Marteau, yep. James Higgins, and the other player would probably be Radim Mirka. But obviously there's a chance that all 3 players could be gone by the time that the Sabres are up with the 9th overall pick. And there's a really good possibility that all 3 players could go 1, 2, 3 right in order with these picks. Philadelphia, Boston, and Seattle up ahead of Buffalo.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, that's what's coming up. And obviously, if you didn't hear the news of the day involving the biggest trade that affects this first round, it's with the Islanders and the Canadiens, who gave up 2 first-round picks to land defenseman Noah Dobson from the Islanders. And Dobson ends up getting a big contract there as well. With these trades, Brayton, has come immediate contract extensions. Dobson getting the long-term deal, and Paterka from the Sabres, obviously, to Utah, getting the long-term deal. The money that he got, Brayton, where do you think that was in terms of maybe what his worth is as someone that will call, am I okay to label him a 25 to 30 goal scorer?
Yeah.
He's
at
28, 27 the last
absolutely.
2 years.
Absolutely. Oh, right. No. And I think the ceiling for him to be able to score more goals is there. I think he can get to 30. I think he can get to 35. I think he's that type of player.
Yeah.
The biggest concern with JJ Paterka, and we saw it multiple times, is his defensive play. The thing is that when he was in Rochester, he seemed pretty committed to playing defense under Seth Appert. And he talked about it multiple times where it was just like, hey, when you play better defense, it leads to offense. Where did that mentality go when he came here to Buffalo? That's the biggest question. Because it seemed like right off the bat, he was playing that style and doing really good things. And it just didn't come to fruition. And now we got Philadelphia's pick coming up here. And we'll go to Gary Bettman.
So making this selection for the Flyers, a legend in Philly, probably next to Rocky, their most famous athlete, an NBA analyst, a great friend of the NHL, and a great friend of mine, coming to us from Chicago, Sir Charles Barkley.
Hey, Gary, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me tonight.
Great to have you with us. So tell everybody what you love about our game.
Well, there's no BS that goes on in hockey. They don't have load management. They just want to get their name on the Stanley Cup. I admire these guys. I respect them. They just want to win the Stanley Cup. And at the end of the day, that's all sports should be. And we're all trying to win the championship. But if you give it your best, that's all you can do. That's why I love the hockey, their mindset.
We love that you're a fan of the game. We have some business to do. Why don't you make the pick?
Well, Gary, number one, I want to thank you for being a friend. You've been a friend a long time. And I want to say welcome back to Philadelphia, Rick Tocchet. And with the sixth pick, my Flyers take Porter Martone from the Brampton Steelhead.
All right, so there it is, Sir Charles with the pick of Porter Martone. And Brayton, you had him going fourth. I just asked you, I'm like, well, is he falling? And, well, falling to six is not at all something that's a surprise. And
yeah.
The right winger from Brampton to the OHL going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, Porter Martone, big body, 6'3", 207 pounds, was captain of the Brampton Steelheads this past year, put up 98 points in 57 games. He played for Canada at the World Juniors, played for Canada at the World Championships, so he got a really good plethora of experience in his draft year and performed pretty admirably. And, you know, again, I felt like he was a top five prospect, you know, but he falls to six to the Flyers. Just size, speed, power. That's the best way to describe Porter Martone. He can blow by you. He can go to the net. He could be a wrecking ball in front of the net for you. He's not afraid to be very physical. And he's got some good skill. And some people think that he might be one of the most NHL-ready prospects available in this year's draft. So the Flyers getting a nice asset to probably play with Matvei Michkov, maybe on his opposite wing. Yeah, Flyers getting a really nice pick here, and I think they probably were running to the phones to let Gary know, hey, we want this guy.
All right, so Porter Martone, the right winger to Philadelphia at six. We are at pick seven with Boston, then it's the Kraken at eight, and then the Sabres at nine. We'll step aside here as we get through our first hour of NHL draft coverage, and when we come back, we'll be ready to get us off here to the Sabres. They are very, very close here on this draft here as we are just about getting closing in on pick nine. Our coverage of the NHL draft on WGR brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family finer foods. With Zach Jones, Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton out at the stadium, I'm Brian Colziel, Levin DePasquale producing, and we thank all of you for listening. More coming up here, hour two of the NHL draft and the Sabres pick just two away right after this on WGR.